stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the IBM Corporation Tivoli Talk Maximo 7.1 Launch Overview Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. If you encounter difficulty accessing the presentation today, please contact Sarah Molnar either by same time or email at smolnar@us.ibm.com. Once again, that's smolnar@us.ibm.com. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Tom Davis. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Jody. Appreciate it. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and where applicable, good evening. Appreciate you either staying up late for us over in Europe to attend this call. Welcome to the 7-1 launch of the Maximo Asset Management Portfolio. I think it's a pretty exciting time. Yesterday we announced the availability of this portfolio that Rich and Dave will take you through, and on Friday it's going to be available for you to sell to your clients. So it's a pretty exciting time. Many of you may have heard about it for a while, have been disclosed on it, or just caught the buzz in the marketplace. This will be highlighted at Pulse, which starts IBM's premier Tivoli event on Sunday for partners and runs through Wednesday or Thursday. Let me introduce myself. I'm Tom Davis. I'm the worldwide business partner leader for the Maximo Asset Management Portfolio. Joining me on the call as speakers are Dave Gazdia, who is the manager of product design and architecture for Maximo, and Rich Kaplow, who is the manager of product management. They'll be taking you through the pitch today, and then we'll obviously have a very interactive Q&A. This is a pretty exciting time for all of us on the team, and especially our partners who have been loyal with us and supportive of our product and all the programs we've provided. Just as a brief touch point, and it'll be the last page in the presentation, but I wanted to highlight that at this 7-1 juncture, we have really stepped up in terms of the business partner programs, plays, and tools that you'll be getting. It really starts to apply some of the IBM, the goodness of the IBM processes and investments to our partners. You'll see that in enhanced education, enhanced certifications, better selling tools such as ROI tools. So we'll highlight that at the end, but I wanted to reinforce that this is really a time to scale, to focus and scale, and we're asking you to step up your business and embrace Maximo even more than you have in the past. A lot of the products you're seeing here are going to be available. Everything you're going to see here is available both in FCT and Passport, and we'll have future calls on those programs to help you. So look for your Tivoli talks tomorrow night or tonight for Asia, and tomorrow on the U.S. time for the AG and Europe group. At this point, let me turn it over to Dave, to Rich, who will start taking you through this presentation. Thanks a lot.
Great, Tom. Thank you very much. Again, my name is Rich Kaplow, and I am in the product management organization in under Chris O'Connor. So I have the pleasure today of taking you through the version 7.1 launch, and we've got some very important information to share with you about this new release of Maximo and some of the other products associated with the portfolio. So I'd like to start by pointing out that there are, in fact, are four products associated with this portfolio here on 7.1 Technology. Maximo Asset Management is what we're focusing on today. But there is also Tivoli Service Request Manager, Tivoli Asset Management for IT, and Tivoli CCMDB. And if there's one thing that you take away from today's conversation is that these four products are all built on the same technology, the same architecture. They share the common code base. They share a database. And what we bring our customers is a solution or a set of solutions for service desk, service catalog, enterprise asset management, IT asset management, change and configuration management, all built on the same code base. And the reason this is important is because these products all work together completely seamlessly, and there is no integration required to get them to work together in a customer's environment. And the market has been conditioned to think otherwise, to think that when a customer is using products of this nature, they're required to do a lot of work, go through a lot of complexity to get them to interact with one another. The market's been conditioned that way in part because of Peregrine's offerings in this market or parts of this market. If you're familiar with Service Center and Asset Center, two products that Peregrine owned prior to the acquisition of by HP, those were products that Peregrine gained through acquisition, and they had to be force-fit to get to work together, and it was a painful, drawn-out process for customers to get them to integrate even in the most minimal fashion. And so we have the same questions coming to us and to you, which is, how do I get these products to work together? And the simple answer is they require no integration. They work together seamlessly. That allows for common business processes to be shared across these products, for the entire enterprise to be managing all of their critical assets, all of these service and asset management processes with these products with no integration required to get them to work together and accomplish that. So that's one point that it was important for us to communicate and be fully aware of, because this is such an important competitive advantage associated with the Maximo portfolio. So let's move on, and I just want to start out by pointing out that, as you heard Tom mention, the Maximo Asset Management, Tivoli Asset Management for IT, and the Tivoli Service Request Management product will all go to GA this week. We've been working on these products for a very long time, and we're about 48 hours away from the GA of these products. The Tivoli CCMDB product on 7/1 actually went to GA back in December. And there are a series of Tivoli talks that are available to you. Some of them already happened and are available as recordings. You've got a couple others in addition to what we're doing today coming up tomorrow and the next day to go into the IT versions of these products here. There are some additional Tivoli talks that you should know about in addition to what we're doing today to focus on Maximo 7/1 Asset Management. We also have the Maximo Asset Management Essentials product for our general business market. And that is already been recorded. It's available. And likewise, the new functionality in 7/1, the Maximo Linear Asset Manager, has also been recorded as a Tivoli talk. And that's new with 7/1. You'll get some deep dive information if you have a chance to go back and listen to those earlier recordings. In addition to that, we have some more communication out to you with regards to the work going on around Passport Advantage and communicating our Passport Advantage strategy later this week, some additional partner communications happening later this month, and then some more specific tools relating to ROI calculations associated with the Tivoli Asset Management for IT and the Tivoli Service Request Manager products coming up in June. So let's dive into the purpose of today's conversation, which is to focus on Maximo 7/1. And I want to start by painting the big picture, which has to do with, as some of you are probably aware, these different asset classes that we use to describe where our products are used inside the enterprises to whom we sell. And historically, we talk about production equipment as one of those key asset classes. Production equipment includes the heavy industrial equipment you'd find at customers like Volvo or Detroit Edison. Facilities is another class of assets. Customers like Long Island Railroad, airports all over the world, including McCarran Airport in Las Vegas, Schiphol in Amsterdam. It includes the Louvre Museum in Paris. It includes hospitals and casinos. The next category of assets are transportation assets. Long Island Railroad is an example of a customer in that category. The tube lines in London. And then the next class, actually the last category here, as it shows on the slide, are the IT assets, hardware and software assets. This is part of the pre-acquisition MRO software business model to offer our customers the ability to manage IT assets along with the rest of their critical assets. And this was uniquely important for our customers as an offering from MRO software before the acquisition, and we have enhanced that since the acquisition. What's new here with 7/1 is the introduction of linear asset management, and we'll take a quick look at that today, and there is the prior recording of the deep dive around linear asset manager as a new product. When you look at the sheer dollar value of these assets, it's a staggering number, and it's staggering in terms of the criticality to how our customers work and, in fact, how everything works across the world. Just looking at the utility industry alone, $5.8 trillion worth of assets in the utility industry, $162 trillion worth of facilities in use over the world, more than $4 trillion worth of transportation assets, and over $10 $1 billion worth of linear assets, including pipelines, transmission lines, sewer lines, and so on. And then in the Fortune 500 customers or companies in the United States, $52 billion worth of hardware, IT hardware assets are in use. And this is just a slice of the total assets in use across the world, and this slice adds up to $170 trillion worth of assets. And the point is that the companies who depend on these assets need to ensure that they last longer, that they are more reliable, and they produce better quality. And this is an ongoing effort that is never done. Customers and companies are always looking to accomplish these sorts of improvements. And those improvements come about by maintaining those assets more effectively. And one of the ways in which our customers accomplish that is by the software and services that we provide them. And according to ARC, these companies spend more than $1.5 billion per year on those solutions. IBM sells the best of those solutions, and this is a Magic Quadrant from Gartner. It's been published 11 times since 1998. Every one of those 11 times, the Maximo solution has been in the leadership upper right quadrant. And 8 of those 11 times, IBM Maximo has been the leader in that leadership quadrant. Now let's look at how we map some of the solutions in our portfolio to these different asset classes that we were just looking at. We have in the case of production equipment, we have the general purpose Maximo asset management product, but we also have some key industry solutions for particular vertical markets. So we have Maximo for life sciences product, Maximo for utilities, Maximo for oil and gas, for nuclear power, and for government. Those industry solutions are where we provide some of the deep functionality that meet the unique requirements of those sectors or verticals. In the case of the facilities asset class, we have the general purpose Maximo asset management product. Again, for the transportation market, we have the Maximo for transportation industry solution. And then for the linear assets, we have Maximo Linear Asset Manager that I referred to before. And then lastly, the IBM Tivoli asset management for IT product. The graphic in the lower right here makes a reference to the five key business processes that any product in this space, and certainly these are business processes that Maximo excels at in terms of delivering functionality to our customers, starting with, at the very top, asset management, simply the ability to know what assets you own, where they're physically located, their maintenance history, their component hierarchy, and so on. Work management, which is to say to be able to assign maintenance or management work to different crafts or labor. Contract management, are those assets under lease? What kind of contracts are associated with that, with those assets in terms of warranty? Procurement management, in terms of working with suppliers who provide the consumables or the materials needed to maintain those assets. And then lastly, inventory management, which has to do with ensuring optimized inventory levels to maintain those assets. Now let's look at the larger view of the portfolio. At the top, we have the general asset management solutions, Maximo Asset Management, Maximo Asset Management Essentials, and Tivoli Asset Management for IT. Our portfolio includes the six industry solutions I was describing. And then we also have a series of add-on solutions. So we have the new Linear Asset Manager product. We have the calibration add-on for managing the maintenance of instrumentation in life sciences or nuclear or other regulated industries. Change and Corrective Action Manager, the Asset Configuration Manager for managing extremely complex assets like aircraft or aircraft engines. Spatial for introducing GIS information into managing assets. The SLA Manager option, which is to introduce service level agreements and service level commitments as part of the asset management picture. Asset Navigator for visual display of asset information. And then Service Provider targeted specifically at those companies who provide asset management services to their customers. And then along the bottom, we've got a series of options beginning with Mobile Work Manager and Mobile Inventory Manager to enable the remote disconnected user to take advantage of all of this asset management functionality in our Maximo product. We also have adapters to ERP systems. We work and coexist very well with systems from Oracle and and SAP. And we also have adapters to Microsoft Project and Primavera for scheduling. The generic enterprise adapter you see here is sold separately with the Maximo Asset Management Essentials product, but it's included with the others. And then lastly, the compliance assistance documentation. Now, if we take that same view of the portfolio and attach it to a timeline, you can see how these products are shipping over time. And this week, we are shipping what you see on the in the column on the left. So all these products are coming out on the 7.1 platform this week, Maximo Asset Management, Asset Management Essentials, Tivoli Asset Management for IT, and then you can see the rest of the products listed in that column. When we get into next quarter, we'll be shipping some of our industry solutions on the 7.1 platform, Maximo for Government, for Oil and Gas, the Service Provider option, and then the add-ons around mobile products and the ERP adapters. When we get into later in the year, we'll have the industry solutions for utilities and nuclear power, and then the spatial option. And then in the first part of 2009, we look at some of the other industry solutions, last ones to be ported over to the 7.1 platform, life sciences and transportation, as well as the calibration and asset configuration manager products. Now, I will say that we have current intent to, and this is being investigated now, to do what we can to pull those releases from the first half of next year into the fourth quarter of 2008. So look for more information on the availability of those products as we get further through our planning process. So for the purposes of today's conversation, we want to get into some of these details around Maximo Asset Management 7.1, and we'll cover in some detail the specific enhanced capabilities in this release. And then we'll also talk about new customer value associated with those capabilities and then the packaging and pricing changes that are part of this new version. So as far as the enhanced capabilities, at this time I'll turn it over to Dave Gasty, and then I'll come back and cover the other two items. Dave?
Okay, thank you, Rich. And again, my name is Dave Gastier. I'm the manager of the Product Design and Architecture Group, which is part of the development organization. Before I get into some of the overview that I'm going to present, I just wanted to highlight some of the major objectives of this release, which were really there were three main topic areas that we wanted to focus on. The first being adding capability and functionality to help lower the cost of implementing Maximo, as well as lower the total cost of ownership from an ongoing maintenance perspective to anyone that administers Maximo and configures the system. So there's a number of enhancements that I'll highlight that will help in those areas. Another major objective, of course, was that we want to continue to maintain our leadership in the EAM market. So we've added some functional enhancements to increase the capabilities for some of those applications around work and asset management that I'll highlight. And then the last major focus for this release, of course, was to continue to add capabilities that would support our story around being able to support multiple asset classes in a single system. So the whole asset convergence where we can support production, facility, fleet assets along with IT, and we've added some capabilities to help extend that as well. So if we look at this next slide here, Rich had mentioned that we've added a big piece of functionality that we've added in this release is the ability to support maintenance around linear assets. I'm not going to get into all the details in this particular presentation. There is a recorded Tivoli talk that we did towards the end of April that will give you a deep dive into this. But I guess the major points I wanted to make here is that if you look at the left-hand portion of the slide, you know, Maximo, we've always had the capabilities to support our traditional types of production fleet and facility type assets, which typically are in a defined location, and you either maintain them or replace those parts. If you look on the right-hand side, now with these linear asset capability, we'll be able to support maintenance around roadways, railways, pipelines, overhead lines, et cetera. And these types of linear assets have specific features and segmentation that make maintenance to these assets a little bit more complex. And so we've modified Maximo in two main ways. One is first to be able to define linear assets and these features within the system. And then the second major portion is that when you define work associated to those linear assets, you'll be able to highlight the locations along the linear asset, whether it's a mile marker or a certain segment or point on the asset itself that you can then maintain. So the work management applications have also been enhanced to support the linear asset capability. So this is it gets us a little deeper into some specific verticals within the asset management industry, and we hope to see a lot of interest in this capability across multiple industries. Okay, now as we look at these next few bullets here, these are some functionality that we've added to help, again, lower the cost of implementation and help lower the total cost of ownership throughout the life of an implementation. The first bullet here, these are related to conditional and dynamic security capabilities. In current versions of Maximo, you've had the ability to set certain types of restrictions, whether at the user or security group level. That functionality will still exist. What we've added here around data restrictions really allows you to make this a little bit more flexible or dynamic in the sense that you'll be able to build conditions associated with what types of data you can see. So whether it's at the object or table level or the attribute or field level within an application, you'll be able to add conditions and associate those with security groups to either hide or make certain data read-only. And so we have a couple of examples here, the first one being where you may want to set up a condition where your tradesman user group can only view approved work orders. In other words, if the work order is in a waiting approval status, it's being built out by the planner or the scheduler, that you don't want people to view it. So you can build a condition and associate that to the application and data. And that's at the actual record level, so you'd hide the whole record. There's other ways using the same capability to perhaps mask or hide fields of data to certain groups. So an example is you may want to hide some pay rate or cost or GL information to a specific group so that they can't see that. And so it gives you a lot of flexibility without having to do any kind of custom coding. If you look at the next big bullet there, application access, so it's actually at the next level. Now we've added conditional security at the application or at the action level within an application. So again, it gives you some extended flexibility. We've always been able to have, for a specific security group, you could define read, insert, modify, delete access. That still exists. The piece that's new here is really making that conditional. So a good example might be at the action level, where you may want to define a condition that says you cannot change the status of a work order to approved if there's no job plan associated with the work order. So again, it's a nice flexible way to configure the system to act as and meet certain business rules for each customer without having to create custom code. One piece, new application that kind of ties into this functionality is we've added something called the Conditional Expression Builder, which basically allows you to build out a library of conditions that can be reused in multiple places within Maximo. So whether it's defining data restrictions, application access restrictions, workflow, et cetera. So you'll now have a library of conditions that can be reused. The next level of conditional controls that we've built into the system relate to the user interface. As you know, Maximo has been very flexible. You've always been able to develop clones of applications as ways to define a specific user interface for a specific set of users. What we've done with conditional UI is really made it even more flexible. So rather than having to create a clone, you can now build conditions around many of the controls within the user interface. So whether it's a specific field or table window or section or a tab that you may want to hide or make read-only, rather than having to create a clone of the application, you can now define that through our conditional UI security setting. So a good example for a use of this is you may want to hide a specific tab. In this example, within the asset application, perhaps you want to hide the safety tab for IT users or assets that are of a type IT. So it gives you some flexibility without having to create a whole separate application. Other things that you'll be able to do with this, again, it can be any attribute of the user interface. So you might be able to or might want to change labels based on, you know, the users accessing the application. You may want to be able to change colors of fields based on data within the application as well. So this gives you a much more capability to configure this system without having to create custom code. The other nice piece of this, of course, is since we deliver the tooling to be able to make these configuration definitions, they'll all be upgradable from release to release. Kind of tied into this, this next slide really depicts the fact that over the last few releases of Maximo, we continue to add functionality that will make it easier to configure the system to meet the needs of our customers and be able to do this with fewer and fewer customizations. In other words, using our tooling, you can configure the system and it's much more powerful and much more flexible. As you can see with Release 7.1, we've continued this trend to add on additional capabilities to configure the system. However, one challenge that we've faced over the past few years is that as the system's gotten more configurable and we've working with larger and larger implementations, which may take several months to get the system defined and rolled out, the challenge has really been how do we move those configuration changes from a development environment out through a test and into a production environment. And so with this release, we've added some functionality that we call Migration Manager capability, which will actually allow you to create bundles of this configuration data and then deploy it out across the environment to help you seed or move configuration changes out through the system. In this slide, we actually depict how this may work. Again, you may have typically multiple environments in any kind of an implementation where you're doing all your initial changes within a development environment. And again, this could take several months to be able to do this. You then need to be able to move those changes out through test and then eventually from test to production. And typically today, what people have to do is create scripts or redo this work in each of those environments, which isn't very efficient and can, of course, be very error-prone. So now with Configuration or Migration Manager, there'll be an automated way to handle this type of deployment of configuration changes. So as we look at the steps that actually would be included in this process using Migration Manager, again, you'll have applications that will allow you to define the package of data of all the different configuration changes that you want to move. Again, this can be very selective. It can be specific applications, specific class files. It can be the user interface. It can be any kind of metadata stored within the database. You can pull this together at the object level to create the package. Once it's created, you then have the ability to distribute it, which is really just an export of that packaged data out of the source development environment, and then you can deploy it, which you'd actually be able to import that package into the either test or production environment, and then apply those changes within that new environment. All of this is a nice way to actually bundle these changes together and be able to track where those changes have been applied. Some other things to note here is that you have the flexibility to not only define which object or which types of data you want to define, but whether or not you want to take what we call a snapshot of that data, which would be for a specific point in time, all the information related to the configuration changes that you want to move, and then you can deploy those out through the multiple environments, or you have the ability to do what we call a delta package, which would mean that if you're creating changes over a number of weeks or months, each time you just grab the changes since the last time you've deployed changes out through the environment. So this makes it a quick way to get configured changes out through the multiple environments. Some other things that we've seen as we've talked to customers and actually internal teams as well is that we see a lot of capability for this tool to not only be able to move configuration changes, but to be able to leverage it to distribute content out to systems as well. So, for example, we've got our Tivoli Service Request Management team who's planning to leverage Migration Manager as a way to deliver content for their customers that are implementing their systems. So in addition to delivering our application functionality for SRM, you'll also receive a package of content that can be deployed using Migration Manager as a way to kind of get best practices information loaded into the system quickly and help our customers get up and running in a more smooth fashion. Other uses for this also include improved support. So our customer support analysts could request certain information from customers that the customer could create the bundle of data, export it, and then send it into support so that we can analyze it. So again, we see a lot of use for this, and again, hopefully we'll help lower the total cost of ownership of maintaining and managing an implementation, as well as throughout the life of maximum implementation. The next set of enhancements here are all focused really more on the work and asset management capabilities within 7.1. We've made a large number of enhancements. These are just some of the highlights. The first one relating to multiple assets locations on work orders, we've actually enhanced work orders from the existing capability where today you could only define a single asset location on the work order. We had a number of customers requesting the ability to define multiple assets on the work order. And a good use case for this would be if you were going to define a simple work order route, where you want to, rather than have multiple work orders for each asset that's being inspected as part of that route, you can now do that on a single work order. So it makes it a lot more flexible and easier to manage. The next bullet there, enhanced swap capabilities. Within the current version of Maximo 6, you had the ability to create a work order and actually plan an asset move as part of that work order, so that upon completion of the work order, the move transaction would be recorded. Within Release 7, we've now enhanced that so that you now have the ability to plan an asset swap as well. So you might be replacing components of a piece of equipment as part of the work order plan, which would be a swap of the assets. And then again, upon completion of the work order, the swap transactions would all be recorded into the asset applications. A new real exciting piece of functionality that we've added is around what we call automated flow control of the work order tasks. And this really hits multiple places. It is something that can be defined within the job plan as well as directly on the work order. And what this allows you to do is to define the tasks of work that need to be included on a work plan. And you can define the actual order that they need to be managed, and you can make sure that this is the steps are executed in the correct procedure by defining the flow control status flows. So what this would allow you to do is if you have a long list of tasks that make up a work plan, you can say that the tasks 1 and 2 must be completed prior to starting task 3 and moving forward through the plan. And this ties into not only defining it as a requirement, but also it's managed through status changes of the tasks. We also have that kind of works with the flow control capabilities that can be defined within the job plan and the work order. You now have the ability to manage the task statuses through a task application. We actually have taken the old activities application and extended that to be activities and tasks, so that in the case where you have people assigned to work on specific job tasks within the work order through this flow control process, they can now go directly into this activity and task application and record any updates that they've done as well as the status changes for the tasks, which will then allow the next task to be executed. So it's basically an easier way to manage the flow control of the work being done in a large plant. Related to this is we made a number of enhancements around our job plan capabilities. We've added what we call nested job plan capabilities, which basically allows you to build out a library of job plans, and then you can build a master job plan that references other job plans. This makes it easier to maintain, of course, but also when you go to apply that master job plan to a work order, it will build out and generate the work order hierarchy. So again, if you've got a large work plan that you need to create the steps for, and these are repetitive tasks that get done, you define this into the job plan. When it gets applied to the work order, it'll build out the whole work hierarchy. The last bullet there related to classification-based attributes. We've extended our capability to classify almost any application within Maximo. But specifically around work orders, in Release 6, you could classify the work orders, in other words, the type of work that would get done within the work order. As part of 7.1, we've added the Specifications tab, which allows the associated attributes associated to the classification to be copied over to the work order and then allow you to record specific information. Now, a good use case for this is I've talked to customers that are in regulated industries, perhaps gas distribution industry is a good example, where they have, because they're regulated, they have to classify the different types of work that they do. And then depending on the type of work that they need to do on the work order, they need to capture specific information as it's part of the regulations working in that industry. And so now here's a flexible way to capture that data and right on the work order, you know, in a flexible manner by recording that in the associated attributes related to that classification of work. In Release 7.1, we're starting to transition to some new reporting tools. In this slide, it just shows that within Maximo 6, our standard reporting tool was Actuate. All our standard reports were delivered using Actuate. We also have out-of-the-box integration to support business objects or crystal reports. So customers that had preference of using management reports defined in Crystal, they could integrate them through our integration tooling here and execute them through Maximo. We also had an external report integration, which was really just a generic way to use any reporting tool of choice and integrate it into Maximo, which basically would allow you to execute the report from within Maximo, passing the WHERE clause, and then executing those reports. As we move into Release 7.1, we're now starting to leverage a new reporting tool, and we're introducing something called BERT, which is a business intelligence reporting tool. This is a Java-based report engine that we've been able to integrate within Maximo, and it actually helps us eliminate a lot of pain points that people have had around our Actuate implementations, or actually any third-party reporting tool, where you have multiple environments that may conflict with what we support for Core Maximo. So now with BERT, it's actually part of Maximo. When you install and implement Maximo, the report engine is there. Again, it's a Java report engine. It enables us to write all the same types of reports that we've done in Actuate. So we'll be delivering all our standard 150 standard reports written in BERT. Now, there are a couple of other points to mention here. For customers that will be upgrading, that have invested in Actuate and perhaps have some expertise using Actuate, with Release 7.1 as part of their upgrade, they will get the next version of Actuate, which is Actuate 9 Service Pack 2, which will also deliver tools to help them migrate any of their Actuate reports up to this version. So they'll be continue to be able to leverage their investment in Actuate with Release 7.1. However, new customers will only receive BERT, and they will be able to leverage all the capabilities of the BERT engine. In addition, we continue to deliver the integration for Business Object or Crystal reports. And, of course, we still have our external report integration capabilities. One thing to note is that as we move out beyond the Maximo 7.1 release, our plans are to no longer deliver Actuate as part of our upgrades, but we will continue to support integration with Actuate, similar to what we've done with Business Objects and Crystal reports. So for the long term now, BERT will be the reporting tool for our standard reports within Maximo. Okay, and that's the overview of the functionality, and I'm going to pass this back to Rich.
Great, Dave. Thank you very much. So let's move on and cover the next section of our agenda for today, which is to talk about the new customer value in the Maximo 7.1 release. And let's start by clarifying the three different buying audiences that we target our messages to. And there are three: the IT buyer, the line of business or operations buyer, and the CXO or business buyer. And one thing I want to make clear up front is that the IT buyer is not an IT asset management person. It's not a service desk operator. It's not even a CIO. This is somebody whose job it is to be part of this decision-making process, and then after the acquisition of Maximo and the decision to implement it, they are responsible for the implementation of it and the ongoing administration of it. So these are the IT people who are part of the team associated with the purchase decision and then the implementation and use of Maximo. The line of business people are those folks whose job it is day in and day out to optimize the use of those assets that we were speaking about earlier and to ensure that they achieve their business objectives around uptime, availability, and reliability of those assets. And Maximo appeals to people with titles like plant managers, facility managers, and maintenance workers in this category of buyer. And then lastly, the business buyer. These are the people who have got overall responsibility for the success of the enterprise. And these could be finance people, they could be accounting people, or they could be people whose job it is to worry about managing risk. So having said that, let's dive in and talk about the aspects of 7.1 that appeal to these different people. And I want to emphasize that what we're looking at here will be new value associated with this Maximo 7.1 release. All of the historical value statements that we've always made about Maximo are still true and still relevant and still part of this picture. We're just focusing here today on what's new in Maximo 7. So starting with the IT buyer, you just heard from Dave a variety of different aspects of what's new in this product that appeals to the IT buyer, starting with the fact that we address this new category or new type of asset relating to linear assets, and the fact that the IT person does not need to buy a separate solution for managing these type of linear assets. And this has to do with application consolidation, the fact that they can use one software solution from one vendor to manage production equipment, the trucks in their fleet, the building, as well as these linear assets like roads or pipelines or transmission lines. And that brings a great deal of benefit to the IT community because now they're able to manage linear assets as well without buying a separate solution from another vendor specifically for linear assets. And it makes them more efficient in terms of how they deliver IT services to their organization. It lowers their IT operating costs. You also heard about our migration management capability and the benefit that brings to an IT organization in terms of more efficiently moving from a development to a test and then to final production use of Maximo and how that lowers total cost of ownership of Maximo for our customers. The improvements to our user interface. We've always been known for a superior user interface of Maximo as an EAM solution, and we continue to improve that with benefits around conditional user interface, the ability to hide or create read-only access rights to fields or tabs within the product. The enhanced control of access to important information. This is taking advantage of the new capability around data restrictions and being able to set up conditions to manage access to different types of information and associate those different forms of access to different security groups. And also the ability to control application access to hide parts of the application and do that using business rules without creating custom code. That's obviously very important to an IT organization as well. And then lastly, having to do with the use of BERT, this J2E embedded reporting engine, now standard within Maximo, has a variety of different business benefits that are important to an IT organization in terms of driving down the IT costs of ownership. Let's move on and look at the benefits for the business buyer. And here are some of the benefits accrue from the new features and capabilities around linear asset management. The ability for the product, this one product, Maximo, to be able to manage all these different types of assets, now including linear asset management, provides a greater degree of control over the business, better visibility to what's happening with the with the different types of assets, now including linear assets, and giving them greater management potential over how they drive and organize and run their business. And this relates to different types of industries. Very specifically, we see how it relates to rail, managing roadways and the state's state departments of transportation, focusing on municipalities where they have roadways as well as that they need to manage, the utility industry, the telecom industry where they need to manage things like cable, and then in the oil and gas industry. And this is all part of the business benefit of Maximo and what's new in Maximo 7.1. And then the next point here that's important for the business buyer has to do with regulatory compliance and risk management. And this goes back to the control of information, who has access to different types of information, and being able to hide, for example, information relating to pay rates, information about different types of assets that people should not have access to, and be able to take advantage of the conditional user interface and some of the data restrictions to be able to manage more tightly the use and availability and access to information inside this product. And the next, moving on to the line of business buyer and what's important for these operational users and the capabilities here, starting with linear asset management, to provide the ability to be more sophisticated around managing these types of assets, the pipelines and the roadways and so on that we were talking about earlier, and to be able to take advantage of things like dynamic segmentation so that they can identify work according to things like mile marker or direction, northbound versus southbound lane, for example, or pipe segments. And so now as a result of this rich capability, are able to do simply a better job in managing their assets, their work relating to those assets. And then next, the user interface just simply makes it more efficient day in and day out for these users to work with the product and get their job done. And then you also heard Dave talk about various types of different asset management enhancements, the enhanced work order management, enhancements to job plans, and the automated flow control. Let's move on and talk about visibility, control, and automation. And if you haven't heard this already, these three themes are part of a consistent framework that we use throughout all of Tivoli for all of our portfolio products inside Tivoli and use it as a basis for describing the importance of and the value of our solutions to our customers. And this theme of visibility, control, and automation applies just as well to Maximo 7.1. Beginning with visibility, the ability now, in terms of what's new in 7.1, to provide greater visibility to what's going on with linear assets, to be able to manage all of the unique attributes in such a way that you have visibility to this information that you couldn't otherwise maintain in the more traditional hierarchical view of assets. And then also visibility in terms of what we've done with enhancements to the user interface to make it more efficient and more accurate to capture information about those assets. Moving on to look at control, the ability to control who has access to what information. That was what I was describing earlier in terms of the data restrictions, the conditional user interface, and ensuring compliance with regulation, with regulatory requirements, and being able to do a better job managing risk for all the reasons I was describing earlier. And then we get into workflow enhancements that's new within 7.1, and this now segues to automation, which is to say that the flow control, the automated flow control that's new in 7.1, provides a greater degree of automating some of the business processes and making sure that a work order is defining a set of tasks that need to be done in a certain order in order to be an effective piece of work, and that it's done properly because task one needs to be done before and completed before task two is started, and being able to build that sort of automation into the way in which assets are managed in the environment. So those are some of the ways in which Maximal 7.1 and what's new in 7.1 supports the same consistent theme of visibility, control, and automation across the entire portfolio. So with that, let's move on to the third and final part of our conversation today and talk about what's new in terms of pricing and packaging for 7.1. And the truth is, it's fairly straightforward and simple. There are no packaging changes to Maximal 7 compared to version 6, other than the fact that we've introduced the new Maximal Linear Asset Manager product and that we've created the new Maximal Asset Management Essentials product. And those are the only parts of the product that are new in terms of packaging changes from version 6 to version 7. The pricing changes, likewise, have been minimal, and we are making some adjustments to the way in which we take advantage of secondary user license flexibility and then also managing a little bit more closely the ideas around trade-up and add-on pricing, which I'll talk about insofar as how they relate to industry solutions. I want to spend a minute here talking about license metrics and just being very clear about the five different license metrics that apply to our EAM products, beginning with the authorized user, which was with an FCT referred to as registered user. This is just simply the single user that gives that user the ability to use and run Maximal Asset Management or the industry solutions. The limited use authorized user is a new term showing up in Passport Advantage that is analogous to and the same as the secondary user license metric that we have in FCT. We have the authorized user trade-up as another metric, and then the last two here are a little bit different in that they are not user-based metrics. Asset is specifically applicable to and only part of the licensing for the Maximal Asset Configuration Manager product, where we offer per-asset pricing as an alternative, and then the install license metric, which is relevant to the Maximal Spatial Asset Management, the internal service provider, and then also the Maximo Assistance Compliance Documentation offerings. We're not going to go into a lot of detail here around our pricing for these different products. This is all available in the quote tool that you have access to, but we have list prices for each one of these products that you see, as well as the add-on and trade-up pricing that I'll talk about in a little bit more detail in a second. So let's dive into that here on this slide and talk about what we mean by trade-up and add-on pricing, just to clarify some of the confusion that some people may have about what we refer to when we use these terms trade-up and add-on pricing. In the first case, the trade-up pricing model applies when a customer or a user is currently running the IBM Maximal Asset Management general purpose product, and then at a subsequent point in time decides that they want to add specific industry solution functionality for that one user. So, for example, customer or user might be running Maximal Asset Management and then decide they want the additional features and capabilities in our Maximal for Transportation industry solution, and then they would pay this trade-up pricing. And without getting into the dollars, because those are available in the quoting tool, I'll just point out that the price for that trade-up that would be charged for that trade-up user is greater than the mathematical difference between Maximo for Transportation and Maximo for Asset Management products. So if you simply subtracted one from the other, you would come up with a price that's lower than this trade-up price. And the reason for that is because we want to incent customers to buy the full industry solution product at the initial time of sale. So rather than going through an elongated sales cycle that might span months or years in convincing a customer that they would benefit from the full transportation industry solution, for example, they should buy that industry solution functionality at the initial sale of the product. So we try to incent that by offering them what amounts to a lower price point if they buy that full product rather than staging it over time and then at a later date in the future choosing to upgrade using the straight-up pricing for that industry solution. The add-on pricing, in contrast, is used where, and this is not a very common scenario, but we're just accounting for this possibility here, which is where a user is currently running one industry solution, and that same user wants to use another industry solution and the functionality in that product as well. And so here the example is that they might be using Maximal Oil and Gas, and they also want that same user to be running the Maximal for Transportation product, and they would pay this add-on pricing for that scenario. So just to give you an idea of what I was describing earlier in terms of the incentive that we use to try to convince customers to buy the full solution up front, take an example of a trucking company. They've got 50 mechanics, and those mechanics maintain 200 trucks. And they also have 10 people who are maintaining the facility associated with that maintenance operation. So at the initial point of sale, in this first scenario, they would have 60 licenses of Maximal Asset Management, and then later at a future date buy 50 trade-up licenses for that Maximal for Transportation product once they decide they needed that additional capability. Our preferable scenario would be that at the initial time of sale, they would buy 10 Maximal Asset Management licenses for the facilities maintenance people and 50 licenses of Maximal for Transportation for those 50 mechanics and do that all at one time, and that would net out to a lower price for the acquisition of the software. To offer a little bit of clarification around how a customer would buy multiple industry solutions at one time, this question comes up periodically, and I want to address it here. It's not specific or unique to 7-1. It's not a new policy with 7-1, but I just wanted to take the time today to explain how this works. I've got a hypothetical example here of a utility customer who's buying multiple EAM products and different license types. So let's assume that there is a nuclear power plant and there's 350 end users associated with maintaining that. There are two fossil power gen plants, 400 users there. They've got a fleet of trucks and they've got 30 mechanics to work on those. They've got 50 people maintaining the buildings and so on. And then there's a purchasing department. And there are 20 purchasing managers that have got responsibility for acquiring indirect MRO materials. So it's a total of 850 users, of which 830 are primary or authorized users, and 20 of whom are secondary or limited use authorized users. And in this case, what the customer would buy would be each one of these industry solutions according to their needs. So simply put, 400 users of the Maximal for Utility solution, 30 licenses of Maximal for Transportation for the mechanics, 350 licenses for the nuclear power side of the business, 50 licenses of general purpose Maximal Asset Management for facilities maintenance, and then 20 limited use licenses for Maximal Asset Management for the purchasing managers. I hope this is fairly straightforward. There's nothing complicated here. It just offers a little bit of clarification where there may have been some confusion in the past. I'd like to spend a minute also talking about the secondary user license, also we refer to here as the limited use authorized user license. There's been a little bit of an adjustment here in terms of how this works. It's new with 7.1. But basically, we have made the secondary user license. We continue to make it available for use with Maximal Asset Management licensing. We do not allow customers to buy secondary user licenses for the EAM industry solutions. And the reason for that is simple. Anybody, any user who is taking advantage of the full functionality and the rich capabilities in the industry solution, by definition, are power users of the product. And we believe that it is logical for those power users to be acquiring a full license of the product, not being discounted because they only want some of the industry solution functionality. And and use this as a negotiating leverage point against us. What's not changed here, customers can choose 3 of 8 different modules to define what a secondary user license is comprised of. That's not different than it was with 6, version 6 of the product. If they want more than 3 modules, they have to buy the primary license. And they can't come back and say, I only need these 2, so can I get a lower price? I had to put some constraints around this because this was turning into, frankly, a bit of a free-for-all. The modules, the 8 modules that these customers can choose from are these, as you see here, the assets, contracts, inventory planning, preventive maintenance, purchasing, safety, and work order modules. So there are 8 of those, and they can pick any 3 to constitute a secondary user license. The price point is 50% of list for that license. The other point here at the very bottom is another item, another aspect of secondary user licenses that's new at this time, and that has to do with this requirement that we impose a ratio of secondary to registered user licenses that cannot exceed a 3-to-1 ratio. We don't want customers buying 1 registered user license or 1 authorized user license and then buying 50 or 100 secondary user licenses. That's simply subverting the process and taking advantage of our licensing model, which we've come to decide needs to be addressed. So to run through an example here of how this works, in this case, we're looking at a manufacturing company that's using Maximo to manage their production equipment. They've got 25 maintenance workers who do that. They've got 3 plant supervisors who approve work orders, and they approve any work order that involves shutting down a production line. They've got 2 safety supervisors whose job it is to approve any work order involving dangerous equipment. Now, in this case, they would buy 25 licenses of Maximo Asset Management, and they could buy 5 secondary users or limited use authorized user licenses for the 3 plant supervisors and the 2 safety supervisors. So you do the math on how that works, and it gives you an idea of how this is intended to work in terms of the authorized user and the limited use authorized user licenses being applied in a single customer account. A couple points here on this next slide having to do with mobile work manager, mobile inventory manager. Again, this is not new with 7.1. I just wanted to take the time today to spend a minute on this topic because there's some clarification needed here. And in this case, we're going to demonstrate the point by looking at a facilities maintenance department where there's 10 people who support 3, let's say, remote warehouses, and they also support 1 headquarters office building. And 4 of those 10 people also have access to workstations in their day-to-day business. They've got a cube or a workstation where they have access to Maximo from their desktop computer. And then there is 1 maintenance supervisor working in the headquarters office building. So in this case, the customer would buy 10 licenses of Maximo Mobile Work Manager for the 10 remote users we're talking about. 4 of the 10, as we said, have access to the workstation. And so they pay for the Maximo Asset Management full license as well, and then there's a full license for the supervisor. So, again, I hope that's fairly straightforward. It's not complicated, but we've seen some, for whatever reason, some confusion on this particular part of our licensing model. The next aspect of our packaging and pricing strategy has to do with migration entitlement and what customers get as a result of some of our strategic evolution here with our product portfolio. And for customers who have purchased the Maximo Change Manager product, and I'm not sure if you've seen or have come across very many customers who have done that, but it's in this specific scenario relating to those customers who bought this module specifically for an EAM, not an IT, but an EAM application. The new product we offer here is the Maximo Change and Corrective Action Manager. So this includes the Maximo Change and Corrective Action Manager option includes incident and problem management as well as the change and release applications. And this is not new with 7.1. We happen to be revving these products with 7.1, but this has been true since we released Maximo Change and Corrective Action Manager in Q4 of last year. Maximo Incident Problem Manager was an old product that we used to have available. and in those cases where it was purchased by an EAM customer, they were entitled as of April of 2007 to the Tivoli Service Request Manager, and I just wanted to make that point. The two other perhaps less critical options here, less well known, have to do with the maximum usage monitor and the maximum field control options. We are building those into Maximo with version 7, but we'll continue to distribute it no charge based on demand for 6.2 users. And then the Maximo field control is end of market, and that's being built into Maximo 7.1. So with that, I would like to conclude with some final thoughts about some resources that are available to you as partners that help you with your day-to-day success. And we've got quite a bit of work that's been done to enable you with all the things that you need to help you with your work. And so you can see what those resources look like. The Tivoli Knowledge Center, TKC, is a set of online resources. And this PowerPoint has actually got links to it that would allow you to click through, but you should make a note of what's here and use the URLs, as you see at the bottom, to access this information. So at this point, operator, I would like to open this up for questions and answers.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question about today's program, please press star 1 on your telephone keypads now. If you're using a speakerphone, please be sure your mute button is turned off. We will take as many questions as time permits and proceed in the order in which you signal us. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone a chance to respond. And we'll go now to Niels Moak of Max.
Hello, this is Niels. I have a question regarding reporting and the availability of only BERT to new users. We've now been positioning all kinds of Actuate functionality such as e-queries and e-spreadsheets. I was wondering how that type of functionality will be included somewhere down the road in, or maybe even at start at Maximo 7.1.
Yeah, Rich, I'll take this. Well, with for new customers, you know, all the standard reports will be delivered in BERT. One thing I didn't mention is that we're also adding what we'll call an ad hoc reporting capability within Maximo as well to do some ad hoc reporting based on predefined objects. So we'll have some of that capability. Whether or not we have all the – obviously, we're not going to have all the Actuate eQuery capabilities, but we're trying to build that into the product. The other longer-term piece of reporting that we're looking at is how we can leverage some of the Cognos tools as we move down the road. And we believe there's some capability there that might open up some of our reporting options within Maximo.
Okay, thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, that is star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just another moment. And ladies and gentlemen, as a final reminder, that is star 1 to ask a question. And as it appears that there are no further questions, Mr. Davis, I'd like to turn the conference back to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you. I hope this call was beneficial to you. Like I said earlier, we've been excited about this. We hope you are. And on the last page my mic was away. On the last page that Rich presented, I really encourage you to spend time in the Tivoli Knowledge Center. For those of you who have not been signed up to IBM Partner World, that is a requirement. But the Tivoli Knowledge Center is where we put all the content for you to market and sell the Maximo solutions. So the whole wealth of material is now there. We have developed something called the Playbook, which consolidates all the content to help you across the sales cycle. So strongly encourage you to go there. A couple of actions I would ask of you is, one, sign up for the Maximo Partner Newsletter. It comes out monthly and gives you the five or six key things to focus on. So if you're not trolling the Tivoli Knowledge Center, this will give you the monthly highlights, such as the 4.1 end of support that's coming in September, such as some industry plays you can leverage, and more over time. So I want to thank you for joining us. Hopefully you're as excited as we are. Hope this is in a time schedule that allows you to close some additional 2Q business. And I'd reference the other Tivoli talks that we've provided, especially the one on Maximo Essentials, as that was built for you to take to general business clients, both for you to be the lead on selling and implementing that solution. So a couple of bullets to summarize, the call to action to get on TKC, to look at Maximo Essentials, to sign up for the newsletter. Those kind of things can get you off to a fast 2Q start. For those of you coming to Pulse, we look forward to seeing you, and thank you for taking this time on this Tivoli Talk.
This does conclude today's conference. We do appreciate you joining us today and hope that you have a lovely rest of your day.